I assumed that you all got the text today that this would be a long sermon. I brought myself a snack. Did nobody here brought them a snack? Well, let me show you what I've got. I've got a fruit, a banana, a fruit, an apple, and this is something I think Miss Darce and I have in common. My favorite cookie, oatmeal raisin. Now, I guess I could share my snack with some of you, but I don't really want to. If you didn't think far enough ahead to bring a snack, just about 1:30, you can doze off for a few minutes, okay? We're going to talk about making choices. Choices determine our destiny in everything that we do. Choosing who you're going to date, they may become your spouse. Choices. Choosing what school that you go to, big choice. Choosing how you spend your money, big choice. Who do you make as your friends? An enormous choice you have to make. But the biggest choice is the choice between, are you going to listen to God? Or are you going to listen to the flesh? Are you going to listen to God that's trying to encourage you and take you in the right direction? Or are you going to listen to the flesh that's trying to tear you down? It's a choice that we make, and trust me, even the smallest choices have consequences. One of the things I did as a teenager coming up was showing cattle in the fair. I had a young heifer. Her name was Clara. Clara was about 14 months old. She was probably around 800 pounds, something like that at then. Snow White. Well, if you've ever seen a cow in the pasture, Snow White's not the best way to describe her. She was white, okay? And I thought she would be a great heifer to show in a class called showmanship. So I took her and I trained her, and she would stand just still as she could. She'd put her feet just right and look up, and she was beautiful. Well, at the fair, I probably spent half the day cleaning her. I mean, shampooed and cleaned, shampooed and screamed. I even took shoe polish and painted her hooves. They were bright black. Really, I cleaned her ears for her. I'm telling you, if I could have, I would probably have brushed her teeth to make her look good. But she was a beautiful animal. But before I showed her, there was another group in the arena. I wasn't going to show her for about a half hour. But instead of staying with her, I decided real quick to go get me a hamburger, okay? No big deal, except in the stall she relieved herself, and then she laid down in it. So I had this beautiful white heifer with a big dark green spot right there. All because I made a choice that I really didn't think through. I allow my hunger. I want a hamburger. And there's something about a fair hamburger that's different. I think because they're just greasier. Choices impact us in everything that we do. But again, there is no choice that we have to make that is as great as that one that Paul tells us about. Do we choose between the flesh, or do we choose between the spirit? Are we going to tune into God? Or are we going to tune in to what we want to do? And that is the battle. So what we're going to do, we're going to take and walk down through the scriptures. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 16. We're going to walk through the scripture and try to help you understand the battle that we are in. We're going to begin with verses 16 and 17. So listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Spirit. Then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. Everybody understands the craving sinful nature. Say amen. Okay. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. And your choices, it says, are never free from conflict. We, I think, understand this, don't we? I mean, aren't there times that you know you shouldn't do something, but you just, I crave it. So we do it. And what Paul says is that our sinful nature, and we'll talk about where it came from in a moment, that our sinful nature has cravings. And I will tell you, those cravings of the sinful nature are destructive. And if you don't learn to listen to God, but instead you listen to the sinful fleshly cravings, you're going to be walking down a road of destruction. So the first point is this. Two forces are seeking dominance in your life. Have you never felt like there are two opposing forces in you? On one hand, as Christians, we know that God loves us. We know that God cares about us. We know that the Holy Spirit's trying to guide us into the right path. And if we'll stop and listen, stop and consider, stop, maybe get some advice, stop and pray, stop and read the Scripture, we know where we need to go. But on the other side, looks kind of like a black ghost, doesn't it? This is the dark side, okay? If you're a fan of Star Wars, this is the dark side. This is the force. It's the dark side, okay? The dark side are those urges that you know are wrong. Well, why don't you just let them have it? You own it, go ahead and take it. It's not that expensive. You can afford it with installments. Your kids won't suffer too bad. Go ahead and do it. Your wife has been a pain lately. But you got this girl at work that's kind of being sweet to you. Why don't you flirt with her a little bit? It's all coming from the dark side. And if you hang out over here, if your friends hang out over here, this is the message that you're hearing. Everything of the flesh, whatever you feel like doing, do it. But over here, if you hang out with Christian friends, the message that you're hearing is different. Don't let them have it. Forgive them. Don't purchase that thing you can't afford. Save. Save. Maybe one day you can afford to buy it, or save. Maybe somebody needs some help. Sure, that girl at work is cute, but you made a commitment to a woman, and you be faithful, and you love her, and you pray for her. Two forces constantly tearing at us. And Paul, in describing it, he says, these two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from conflict. What that means is it's going to be a hard choice every time, because the flesh is saying, I really want that. I really need it. As we take and continue in the Scriptures, I'm going to take you down to verse 17 here. Paul says the old sinful nature loves to do what is evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature describe. Paul says you've got these two forces, and each of them want dominance in your life. The flesh wants to control you. Every craving that you have, go for it. Anything that sounds like it may be fun, go for it. The old sinful nature is about pleasing you. The old sinful nature puts you on the throne. And if it feels good, do it. And we all battle that nature. On the other hand, there's the Spirit. There's a Spirit that gives you this message. But you've got to take and listen to this message because it doesn't scream at you. It doesn't shout at you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Him and it's about others. It's not about you. And if you want a model for your life, make it Jesus. He never made it about Himself. Although He was equal with God, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the cross. These two forces clamor for our attention. The flesh, please me, serve me. The Spirit, oh no, serve God, serve others. Let me tell you three quick things about these two totally opposite forces in your life. First, they have different origins. Our sinful nature is that part of us that seemingly was passed down from our parents, because even as children, it had us. It is that part of us that is rebellious in nature. It is that part of us that when someone says no, we say we'll just watch. It's that part of us that wants to take what we want, that part of us that wants to lie about it. Parents, did you have to teach your children to be selfish? No, you had to teach them to share. Did you have to teach them to have temper tantrums when they didn't get what they wanted? Oh, no. You have to teach them to be calm and not have the temper tantrums. As a child, sometimes it can almost be comical. But hey, I've seen those temper tantrums in adults. I've seen that same demanding spirit in adults. Now, when we first come to Christ in salvation, the old flesh has been strong all of our life. And it does take some focus and some determination to begin to listen to what Paul calls our new life in Christ. The old nature is base. The old nature craves what is evil. Satan loves to take and use the old nature to destroy you. The origin of the new nature and the new life is the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, He said, I've got to leave you now. Although they wanted Him to stay so bad. I've got to leave you now. Stay with us, Jesus. You don't understand. I've got to leave you. Because I've got to leave you that I might send back the Holy Spirit. That will be with you and will be in you. So we choose to listen to that base destructive nature, or we choose to listen to God's Holy Spirit that's trying to remake us into the image of Christ. The second thing, these two have completely different motives. Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, and that is exactly what our sin nature wants to do. If we listen to our sin nature, it'll be destructive, which puts a smile on the enemy's face. But if we listen to God, His motive is to hear, bring us into the likeness of Christ and prepare our heart for heaven. If you live in the flesh and all you think about is what pleases you, you're going to be miserable in heaven when it's all about God. So there's this transformation that takes place. The third thing here, they have different results. The sinful nature, the base fleshly nature, will destroy your marriage. Absolutely, it will destroy it. It is so self-based that you'll never think of your spouse. You'll just think of yourself and what you want. It will destroy a marriage. When your children become teenagers, didn't think about that when you had kids, did you? When they become teenagers and they're trying to set their own values, if you allow your sinful nature to take over, all you're going to do is battle them and holler at them and scream at them constantly. Very good chance you're going to break that relationship. And parents, our kids make mistakes. Some of our kids make horrid mistakes. But it is crucial that we maintain a relationship with them that we can speak into their life. It is absolutely crucial. So this evil nature is constantly battling us. And we've got to decide, basically, who are we going to hang out with? Do you want to hang out with the flesh? And now, don't get me wrong, it's going to be fun. You're going to get to go to parties and they're going to be fun, but the next day, there's going to be a price to pay. And oftentimes, that price is for the rest of your life. You can buy that thing that you want so bad, and all of a sudden, you find yourself in bankruptcy. Or you can listen to the Lord God, who through His Holy Spirit wants the best for you, that wants you to have a happy marriage, wants you to have well-adjusted and good decision-making teenagers. But it's all about a choice that we make. All right, let me share this portion. No, this portion of Scripture, verses 19 through 23, they deal with what these two forces actually produce in your life. Starting off here, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, if you feel it sometimes, would you say amen? Some of you aren't totally honest. When you follow the desire, didn't some of you feel like staying at home today? Weren't some of you, I'm just so tired, I just think I need to stay in bed today? But thankfully, you didn't listen to your sinful nature. Your lives will produce these kind of evil results. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Not only are these from the dark side, people like to do them in the dark because they know they're evil. They know they're corrupt. This nature, and I can't theologically explain it. I know it is passed down. I know that David said, I was conceived in iniquity. He understood that he was born with a sin nature. Again, we see it in our children. It can reach its zenith with teenagers when those hormones are just raging through them. And oftentimes the patterns have been set when they become adults, who they're going to listen to. But these are destructive. But then Paul says, starting in verse 22, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Point number three is this: these two forces produce different kind of fruits in our lives. Now we're going to contrast three of these different fruits from the flesh and the spirit, okay? We're going to just look at how they manifest themselves in your life. In the flesh is sexual sin. It could be being unfaithful to a spouse, sex outside of marriage, sex with someone of the same gender. It could be sitting looking at porn on the internet. It can be sitting there looking at someone, thinking about them and being lustful for them. But it's very base. And one thing we know about God, He wants us to control those base instincts and desires. On the other hand, the Spirit is about self-control. It's about saying no. It is about my body does what I tell it to do. I don't do what my body says it wants to do. Parents, one of the things we're trying to teach our children is self-control. You don't have to have that fit. You don't have to have that tantrum. You can be in control. When God dominates your life, there will be self-control because God is orderly. God doesn't make mistakes, and it would seem that God always has a plan for where He's going. And control is always there. In the flesh, there are outbursts of anger. Any of you here ever see an outburst of anger? Would you? Any of you ever been the person that does the outburst of anger? I appreciate the honesty. Do you know why we get angry? It's real simple. We don't get our way. The boss gave who the promotion? I didn't get it. I didn't get my way. Mama's not letting me go to that party I want to go to. I didn't get my way. I worked hard today. I wanted my husband to take me out for a nice meal tonight, and he came home and told me I needed to cook. I didn't get my way. Watch your toddler sometimes. You can see yourself in them. Not a lot different, but we want our way. And those outbursts of anger are so destructive. Because when we lose our temper, oftentimes we say things we don't mean, don't we? We can actually damage people. One day I was standing in a church nursery. That there was a mother and father in there, and their son, probably 8 or 9 at the time. And the father came in there and asked him, did you bring so-and-so in or something like that? I don't remember the exact question. But basically, the son came back and said, no, Dad, I didn't. And his father goes into a fit. And one of the things I distinctly heard him say, you never do anything right. You are good for nothing. Talk about crushing a child. And you may never have said that, but in your outburst of anger, have you said things you wish you could take back? Oh, how do we wish we could take them back? But when you say it, it pierces the heart. Sure, you can take it back and slide that knife out, but you've already done the damage. Outburst of anger. In the Holy Spirit, there's peace. There's calm. Instead of just responding in the flesh, I'm going to think about this a while. I know coming up, my father tended to discipline in anger. I know I received some spankings that my brothers ought to have received because they were the guilty ones, but I was the oldest. And there were times if my father had thought about it, he wouldn't have spanked me for it because it really wasn't my fault. But the point is this. One of the things I decided when I became a parent was this. I will never spank in anger. I will never discipline my children in anger. When our kids made us mad, we'd send them to the room. Go to your room. Why? We're going to think about how we respond. What is an appropriate discipline for this? And before I discipline my children, I would go ahead and sit and talk with them. It may have been some paddling, and the way I paddled, I made them lay down across their bed and just stretch themselves. We actually tried at one point paddling our girls when they were small, about the age of Claire and Kayla. We were going to spank them, they did something. But when we finally got them out, they had pulled their little panties out and put some of their books down in their panties. And we couldn't spank them. It was so funny. I'm not saying that we always made the right decisions, but never in anger. God gave us a peace because what we want to do is direct our children. The Bible says, provoke not your children to anger. So there always needs to be a logic and a reason why you're doing this. Third thing is quarreling. There are some people would argue with a tree. There's something inside of us that we're right, we know we are right, and everybody else is wrong, and we will argue about it. And we'll usually demand our way. But the Spirit says, oh no, you should love people instead. Love sounds easy if you think it's all mushy. Love is one of the hardest things that you can do. Parents, sometimes loving your child may be the hardest thing you've ever done if you truly love them. You think of what's going to help them instead of what's going to make you feel good. When you and your spouse argue. Now, today at Mitch and Kat, what time is y'all's shower today, Mitchell? What time? 1:30. Mitchell and Kat are having a shower. They're getting married. And we've been talking sometimes about when you have disagreements. And this young couple, they have disagreements sometimes. And here's the thing about it. The flesh tells us, when I have a disagreement with my spouse, I want to win. Amen? I remember one time Ginger and I were having an argument, and she looks at me and she says, "You always argue like you want to win." I'm like, "Yeah, that's, isn't that why you argue?" But that's the flesh. The Spirit says, "Mitchell, let Cat have her way. It ain't that big a deal." That's love. Love is esteeming somebody else above yourself. And Jesus goes this far and says, love is even esteeming your enemy above yourself. Jesus is being nailed to a cross, and he prays for the people that are nailing him to the cross and prays that God forgive them. That's of the Spirit. Nothing of the flesh. All right. Let's go on down to verse 16. Again, I want to remind you of one more thing. Again, Paul speaking, "So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Spirit. Then you will not be doing what your sinful nature craves." We choose which force dominates our lives. And unfortunately, some have decided to go to the dark side and live lives of rebellion, lives of selfishness that result in destruction. Some have chosen, "I want a new life. I want a different kind of life. I want a life that makes being here in this world meaningful." It's a choice. But let me tell you what most of us do, okay? Have I done it? Absolutely. We sit and we look at these two choices. And the Bible says they're opposite. They're polar opposites, one to the other. Here's how most of us do it. How close can I get to the dark side without offending God? How close can I be here and still live sometimes in the flesh and sometimes get my way and do what makes me feel good, but not be too far from God? Or we say, well, maybe I want to be a little bit closer to God, but I don't want to be too far from the dark side. They're polar opposites. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "If you're not with me, then you're against me." And what the Bible teaches us is simply this. There is no middle ground. We choose to rebel. Samuel told Saul, rebellion is as witchcraft and idolatry. It is choosing to turn your nose up to God and do what you want to do. There's no way to compromise it. Or we choose to live in the Spirit. Now, there will be times that the temptation may seem so strong like it's there, but you decide where you walk. You decide where you live. It is a choice we make. Now, this is what James tells us. James says, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you." James, whom I think is the most practical writer in the New Testament, his book to a large extent is almost like the book of Proverbs in the Old, his is in the New. He says, if you want to live in the Spirit, humble yourselves before God. That means, guys, we fall on our knees, we pray. We come before God, we say, God, I need help. God, I've blown it. Haven't you ever blown it? Haven't you ever said, how did I get myself here? You blew it. Tell God, He already knows it. God, I humble myself before you. And then he says, resist the devil and he will flee. Can you ever reach a point that the dark side doesn't tempt you? It's not in my experience. Do you ever reach the point that you're so close to God you can't hear Him? Our Savior heard the temptations from the dark side. James says, resist the devil. Here's what that means. I don't know if you've ever talked to Satan before. I have, and I hope you don't think that makes me crazy. But there have been times when I have felt Satan trying to get me to do something, and I'll just tell him, no, devil. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'll quote a scripture, and I'll say, be gone. And after I do that for a while, I don't hear that temptation anymore. But now it'll probably come back. We talk about God being faithful. Trust me, if there's any place our enemy is faithful, it's in what he wants to do to you. Here's what you need to understand. Everything the dark side tries to get you to do is destructive. It will destroy your marriage, your relationship, your finances, and your health. The dark side says to the teenager or young adult, come to the party, we got some things you need to try. They'll make you really feel good. You know what? Probably true. But they don't show you the rest of the story. They don't show you the people that die because they got involved in those drugs or involved in that alcohol. I'm not going to show you there. Destructive. Holy Spirit, on the other hand, and you do know that God loves you so much. You are the apple of His eye. His Son came and died because of His love for you. Everything He wants to do for you, everything He encourages you to do is for your good. You will sit there today when the offering plate is passed. And I used to sit in the chapel at college, and when the ushers would come, I would say, well, here come the vultures. And you know why I said that? I wanted my money. But let me tell you this. If you'll give to God, God will bless you. It's understanding that everything God wants you to do, there's a blessing behind it. He says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And then draw close to God. I was counseling a young couple. They'd been married for a couple of years. And in talking with them, they said, I don't love her like I used to. That's why you've got to be careful of this love thing. If you think loves are about feelings, you're setting yourself up for a fall. Love's not about feelings. It's about a relationship and a commitment and a decision you make. Now, feelings will accompany it. But there are times all of us don't feel like that we love our children. We'd like to just take them out. Love is about action. I told him, what did you used to do when y'all were dating and you felt in love with her? And he described the things that they used to do. And I said, Tia, what I want you to do, I want you to start doing those things again. I want you to start calling her and telling her how much you love her and miss her. Take her out to eat, and when you do, open the door for her again. Begin to do those things that you used to do when you were in love. And you know what happened? The feelings began to come back. What God tells us to do is to draw close to Him. That means we begin to make decisions. That means we pray more. That means we study our Bible more. That means we're involved in a small group in church. We're coming on Sunday because we want to get closer to God. We want to move closer to God. And we know if we do these things, the Bible says He will draw and move closer to us. Amen? We draw closer to God, God will move a little closer to us. And it's all this moving process. But that means that we have decided the flesh over here is just no good. And we want to move toward God. Let me close with what I closed with last Sunday. And I have some copies of this out here on the information prayer. This is John Wesley's covenant prayer. It's the same one I had in the outlines last Sunday. If you'd like to, after I go through this, if you'd like to get yourself a copy, they're on the information table. This was a prayer he prayed every day, understanding the battle he would be facing. He said, I am no longer my own, but yours, O God. Put me to what you want. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be put to the work for you, or set aside for you, praised or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, or let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to you and your glory and your service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, and I love this line. You are mine, and I am yours. So be it. Let the covenant which I have made on earth today, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. You need to begin every day with a prayer of commitment that you're going to walk with God. You need to ask God to give you the strength to resist the dark side. Because you want your life to be a blessing to others. And you want to put a smile on your Father's face. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray that God help you totally commit your life and walk to Him. I'm going to pray that His Spirit fill you and empower you. I'm going to pray that you resist the temptation that will come to make decisions that are not pleasing to God. I'm going to pray for you. If you want to join me in this prayer, would you just slip your hand up? Just hold your hand high that God might see it. Heavenly Father, I am in the midst of a battle. I feel the dark side and my old sinful nature pulling at me, and I reject it, Lord. I renounce it. And Father, I pray that that Holy Spirit that abides and lives in me, that Holy Spirit that is seeking nothing but my good, that I allow Him to dominate my life. Forgive my sins. Refocus my attention away from myself and to you, O Lord. May, Father, I arise every day wanting to please you and not myself. Forgive my failures. Forgive my struggles. And live your life through me, O Lord, that the Savior might be seen in me. For it's in His precious, holy, abiding name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated.